Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans. Apparently, in the last week that we were here, everybody quit.
Where is everybody?
I don't know.
Sean came for 1 week.
He did. Apparently, it was too much, and he's gone again.
What happened? Is Joe gone forever, too?
Joe is, I don't know where Joe is, so I don't want to speak on his behalf, mostly because he doesn't like it when we do that. But
he likes to hide from the government.
He does, and apparently he also likes to hide from the show. There is plenty of stuff going on, though, so we will get to all of it. There is an event on Fox Sports 1 this weekend we will talk about with some interesting fights on it, and then as God is my witness, every single week there's more and more interesting stories. So as a setup, before we get to talking about how the Jones-Cormier thing ended, if you remember, John Jones was due for that rematch with Alexander Gustafsson. We were negotiating back and forth and back and forth. Gus signed first. John kind of played a little bit of chicken and then eventually signed. Gus gets injured. Cormier gets the nod after his dismantling of Dan Henderson. And then we go to the MGM Grand, where the two are going to face off. And then they decide that there needed to be an impromptu steel cage match, where they probably destroy the lobby of the MGM Grand. Then do a whole bunch
You forgot one thing, which for the first time in a long time doesn't have a boxing ring or a cage in the center of it.
Yes.
There's usually a cage there.
Just had a fountain instead. So they had a fountain cage match. And afterwards, they decided to do a whole bunch of press to get people super excited about this fight, and they did just that. Everybody was super excited. Give me an opportunity to give you $70 UFC, and I was willing to do that.
We already bought it.
However, as most things, they don't stay good forever. Hmm. And John Jones decided it was wrestling practice with Alistair Overeem.
Is that what happened?
And during,
I'm just hearing this for the first time.
During said wrestling practice with the Ream, he injured himself and is off of the card.
So he couldn't hang with a heavier fighter,
yeah,
is what you're saying.
It was a heavier fighter that he couldn't hang with in the wrestling department.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's interesting. I don't know what to think here.
I love that you're going there, because yeah, let's play that out for a second. So
Well, why else would he be wrestling with Alistair in a camp other than to recreate what it's going to be like to be in there with a bigger dude? I mean, not that he doesn't usually do that, but Alistair's a giant dude on horse meat.
He is a giant dude, and clearly that fight ended up with Jones needing surgery.
Right.
So
what does he think's going to happen when he gets in there with Daniel Cormier?
Yeah, so that has been pushed to January.
Because he's going to have meniscus surgery and he rolled his ankle. Because initially we just heard he rolled his ankle.
Yes.
And I don't know if you watched Daniel Cormier. He was on America's pregame. I'm trying to get
which UFC tonight? He was on all of it this
week.
Well,
it was right after the announcement.
Oh, gotcha.
And basically, they made the announcement on Fox Sports 1 on America's pregame. John Jones is out of the fight. They didn't have a lot of details. And at that point, you heard Daniel Cormier say, look, I was going to go in with a bad ACL. John Jones needs to toughen up, is essentially what he said. And I find it very interesting that it went from an ankle roll to now meniscus tear. I'm not questioning it. But it's very interesting when you pull out of a fight, especially if you're John Jones, because you're that guy that's always on Twitter, that's always on Instagram for 10 minutes, and then you delete it.
Yes.
But you're always on there. You're going to play that heel roll up. You're going to be the guy that everybody hates at this point and wants to see get beat, which, by the way, is a genius strategy if you want to make a lot of money in the UFC. I'm not taking that away from him at all.
Yes.
But if you end up pulling out of a fight, you're going to take that hit. You should be releasing the info, because what happens is, we heard you rolled your ankle, you canceled another UFC event, essentially. I know they're going to try to put Mighty Mouse in there as a headliner? I'm
against Chris Caricio. And then most people, when you say that, they go, I'm sorry, what?
Which does two things.
What?
I told you before, this next UFC pay-per-view with the two title fights, I said this is perfect. These are two weight divisions, and you've got to fight here with these guys that can't really carry pay-per-view, but you put it on another pay-per-view with another title fight, and you got a rematch here, and everybody wants to see it. These guys are in the perfect spot. And now these guys are going to headline another card. A card that was probably, let's not forget, Yeah, we're going to see the fight, but the UFC doesn't get that money back this year.
And it's funny, right before we went on the air, I was downstairs in my office talking to another guy in the office who's not into MMA at all, works for another station, whatever, and he was talking about this incident in the MGM Grand. And I said, it's a real shame because the UFC could really use that money, you know, because by the time we get to January, people have forgotten about the brawl in the fountain.
I don't think people will forget, but you're simply moving forward.
Fans won't, but that guy downstairs?
No. That guy downstairs, we'll ramp it back up. We'll get excited. It's going to be a little tougher. It's holidays. That's always a little tougher, especially the good thing is they've always tent-poled that event, so a lot of people tend to watch that New Year's Eve weekend. I believe we're January 3rd this year.
Yeah.
Is we're going to land with UFC. So that's not the biggest hit. The biggest hit is the fact that they just don't get the money now. And again, they're not going broke tomorrow, but a lot of people forget that these events, they need to make a lot of money for UFC, especially when they're cashing in their big guys. And John Jones, one of their big guys, and all of a sudden you had him in a fight with a guy that a lot of people believably thought could beat him at this point because he's looked not in his best shape against Chael Sonnen. He had his foot broken. Nobody noticed.
Right.
Until the fight was over. Yeah.
Right.
You had him in against Alexander Gustafsson. A lot of people will argue Alexander won that fight. You had a rematch set that he kind of ducked and weaved and bobbed, and then Alexander gets hurt. And you go, oh, look, he was able to avoid the fight. How shocking, John Jones. He signed up, I'm going to fight. It was September of last year.
Yes.
When he canceled an event. So
the famed UFC 151.
Right. So you've got...
Poor little out.
You've got all these things where the UFC hasn't been able to cash in on their guys. There's no GSP this year. There hasn't been Anderson Silva since last year. Those were those guys that made the money so they can run all these fight nights. And people complain about fighter pay, and they complain about what guys are making. It's commiserate with what guys boxing make. It's commiserate with what other guys. It's better than a lot of the boxing guys that open up cards. The guys we never see. You and I have been to the MGM Grand for boxing events. We walked in, we checked our seats. There's guys fighting in the ring. Okay, here's where we're sitting. We'll see you in 7 hours.
Right.
And there were guys fighting that whole time.
Yeah.
And they were fighting for $500 in the MGM Grand. So,
that's a perfect analogy because I am a super casual boxing fan. Like, I will watch big fights, but...
But nobody was there. It wasn't even us.
Yes, right,
for sure. There was like three guys, and they were the trainers in there. We found our seats, and these guys are laying it all on the line in there.
Yeah.
So people that complain about the fighter pay, I don't think you realize how much goes into all these events. People complaining about the fighter pay should worry at this point because the UFC hasn't cashed in. When's the last time they cashed in with a big fight? I mean, what would you say was that last huge number for them? Maybe Jones Gustafsson earlier this year.
No, I might say that if I had the numbers, if I had Meltzer's numbers, because he's pretty good at that stuff, mm-hmm. I might say that Weidman Rousey was probably the time they cashed in this year.
Was that this year?
Yeah.
It feels like last year.
I know.
Oh, no, you're right. The Weidman-Machida fight?
July 4th? I don't know.
Maybe just because he won.
Again, I don't have Meltzer's numbers, and if I did, I would say that would be the one.
I don't think that's bad, but I mean, that they didn't go into that with that guarantee. You know,
no,
we're still feeling Weidman out here.
This was different. This was in we talked about this last week. This was in the, we have reached the stratosphere where now new people are coming in and want to check this thing out, and they will have to wait till January, which I agree with you, makes it really difficult. The other part of this story
is... Well, let's just remember the big three before we move ahead.
Sure.
The big three was always Anderson Silva.
Yep.
George St. Pierre.
Yep.
And it was John Jones who had moved into that stratosphere.
Yes.
There's only one of those dudes left, and that dude just canceled the pay-per-view, essentially. As far as the UFC, this is a wash. What they're going to pay to put on the event, what they're going to do in ticket sales, they did step up to the plate. They said, hey, look, we understand you're not getting the fight you thought. I think for the first time ever, the UFC offered refunds.
Yeah, there was
because cards are always subject to change.
There was a time limit, but they did offer refunds because this is a very different situation.
So I think they're going to be, these next two pay-per-views, I wouldn't be surprised if they're a wash as far as the money goes.
Perhaps. And there are two things that we should take away from this on the other side of this is you saw Alexander Gustafsson come out and be like, look, how come I'm not getting a shot? How come it was my fight to begin with? And I understand where he's coming from and why he's doing it. But here is why he does not get that shot. One, because the original fight was Jones Gustafsson. Gustafsson got hurt. Cormier gets in.
Mm-hmm.
When we fast forward to this week, Jones gets out, Cormier's still fine. So why does Cormier lose the slot? He doesn't. Gustafsson, you've got to wait. And he has said he will wait. I think that's a mistake, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about him waiting because, I mean, John Jones has been on that 5-month, 6-month schedule at this point for a while. So he's going to have to wait a long time. A lot of people... are supposing that John Jones wants that bad knee to get worse on Daniel Cormier. He's an older dude. He's a guy that didn't want to get surgery for the ACL. So I don't like that. I like that Gustafsson made his case. If he keeps going on about it, I'll feel less inclined to like Alexander Gustafsson's case. Does that make sense? I'm okay with what he said.
Yes.
And the fact that he's throwing his name out there. Hey, can I get my fight back?
Right.
I don't want to hear Alexander Gustafsson in 4 months. Hey, I should have had that fight. You know what? You had your chance.
You did, yes.
Daniel Cormier didn't get injured. John Jones did. You said you wanted to wait. So this is going to be one of those wait and see things for me. I don't mind that he did it. I disagree with what he said. I don't think he should get the shot. I agree with
either,
you.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with, though, the fact that he's a fighter. He wants to get his name out there.
Absolutely.
And we don't know. Let's say the conspiracy theorists are right. And John Jones is just trying to avoid now the DC fight after he was trying to avoid
right.
Alexander Gustafsson.
Right.
You know, DC's leg gets worse. He's saying it's good because it can get better. But we've heard from a lot of people that say, you know, your ACL, your MCL, whatever's going on with your knee, almost all the time you got to fix that with surgery.
Right.
And he's going to get a rest, but is he going to get better? I don't know. Gustafsson puts his name out there. He should do that.
Sure, and he should remain in the conversation at some point. The other two things to walk away from this, as Ken said, UFC 177 was TJ Dillashaw, Henan Burrell, co-main evented by Mighty Mouse and Chris Caricio. I believe that is his last name.
Yes. If your challenger for the championship does not have a Wikipedia
page. Yes. So
no, he might have
now
one.
At UFC 177, locally, there's some exciting news because the main event is TJ Dillashaw and Henan Burrell 2. The co-main event is Muskegon's own Tony Ferguson and Danny Castillo, which I get that it's not going to sell pay-per-views.
Right.
Excited for my boy Tony Ferguson.
No, that's great. I just
UFC 178 becomes this. Mighty Mouse and Chris Caricio, co-headlined by Tim Kennedy and Yoel Romero.
I think they got Dominic Cruz in that co-spot, don't they, though?
Not on this, but you might be right. Dominic Cruz and Mizugaki, that might be the co-main event. Kat Zingano returns against Amanda Nunes, and Patrick Cote and Wonderboy Thompson on that card. Some good fights, but I get it why you would want a refund. But that's what 177 and 178 will become at this point.
You know what's really interesting to me is that at 178, we went from John Jones to Daniel Cormier, clearly being the most important fight on the card. Some people are going to be really mad about this, but I think Demetrius Johnson's going to go get his 5-round decision.
Sure.
So I don't think that's the most important fight on this card. I think the most important fight on this card for rankings and for the UFC's pocketbook is Kat Zingano.
Yep.
She's got to stay undefeated.
Yep.
Because they want to cash her in, and that is going to be that or the Cyborg fight or the Carano fight is going to be a fight that they can make sure that they cash in on Ronda Rousey with. I think the biggest is the Carano fight, honestly.
But
this has to – Kat Zingano can't lose
no,
if they want to put her in as undefeated against Ronda Rousey, because that's all we can sell now against Ronda Rousey, unless you want to go that Tyson route. Is she going to rip Kat's arm off in 2 minutes?
Right.
Doesn't matter if Kat loses.
And then this week on Monday, the rumor mill started churning and exploded as Front Row Brian said he had insider information. He's a guy on Twitter that if you are into MMA and are not following, he is right, I would say, 80 to 90% of the time. He tweets out on Monday that it appears that Carano is going to sign to Bellator, which was an interesting swerve. It, at the recording of this show, has not happened yet. So I asked the question in the run sheet, you know, is she going to go there, or is this just some epic trolling to make sure that she runs her price up?
I think she knows what she's doing as far as negotiating. And there's a big plus here for her in Bellator as opposed to UFC. And that plus for her is no Ronda Rousey. She can make a lot of money in Bellator and do a couple of fights. Now, she could probably make that money in UFC. And as much as I love what Gina Carano did for the sport, there's a lot of detractors out there for Gina Carano.
Sure.
And the fact that, you know, she wasn't the best fighter. She was a pretty face. She was a damn good fighter to do what she did. And she carried Strikeforce through dark Strikeforce times. Don't believe she's got a chance against Ronda Rousey. I don't think you got Ronda Rousey in her prime. You got Gina Carano probably 4 or 5 years after her prime.
Yep.
Gina Carano in her prime probably doesn't even come close to Ronda Rousey. So she's got to decide. If she wants to be a fighter, Bellator is a great shot for her because she can get back in there and probably have a couple fights. She goes to UFC, they're going to want to use her quick. If she's not in the first fight against Ronda, that second fight is going to be against Ronda Rousey, and that's essentially going to be a loss for her.
And the rumor caught fire because the rumor attached this little thing that doesn't exist in the UFC, and that is that Bellator was looking at a 145 division where Gina fought when she was in Strikeforce.
Mm-hmm.
Marlos Kunin was
where she had trouble getting to in Strikeforce.
Marlos Kunin also was in that rumor. She has signed with Bellator this week, but Carano, at this point, that appears to be a false rumor, but the rumor caught weight because at 145, that seems much more plausible given the fact that right now UFC is 135 and obviously 125 when we start that Ultimate Fighter in September that they are launching.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. I'm not going to blame anybody for the rumors. I'm not even going to say it's trolling at this point. I believe she's probably met with Bellator. She's smart to do it.
Sure.
She's got an agent that's been working in Hollywood
now. She worked with Scott Coker.
Exactly. She's going to go talk to Scott Coker. At a minimum, she's running her UFC price up.
Yeah, because, and that's what I said. Is this trolling to run that up, or is she really interested in doing that?
What's interesting, too, is look where we are now in 2014. Probably the most leverage any fighter can have is a female fighter at this point. That a female fighter has the most leverage with Bellator out of any fighter.
Because
almost any male fighter, UFC's come, go, we don't care.
Right,
we don't care.
We do not care.
Right, you get sued by, but you guys sign, whatever. You got to go fight there until you're done. They don't need any of the men. I don't care what your argument is about how many guys they could beat in the UFC. They don't need anybody in Bellator. I think a little bit of an argument could be made that they need some of the women fighters out there that have a name and they can put in there against Ronda Rousey. Because back to what we said, would you have believed that we were going to get through a year where we only had one of those marquee guys in a fight, and that was John Jones, and that was. Was that the Glover fight?
Glover, yeah.
I'm looking back. I believe that's the only time this year we've had one of those big three.
But you and I argue about this all the time. I still think Ronda is the face of that company.
She hasn't cashed in yet. She hasn't cashed in. For the most part, she's been on cards with other fighters. They were able to go to her. What was the one, the UFC pay-per-view they did? She headlined one of them. I believe it was back in February where she fought Sarah McMahon.
Yes.
I believe they headlined her there. But that was a second pay-per-view in a month. So there wasn't a lot of pressure there. That was after the Super Bowl weekend, that was a couple of weeks after the Super Bowl card. So I don't think there was a lot of pressure there. I don't know if they can cash her in alone yet. Now, could they with Carano? Sure. Could they with Kat Zingano? Probably.
Cyborg, yes, right?
I'm honestly wondering if Cyborg at this point isn't somebody
really?
Nobody knows. Well, remember, Carano was all over CBS. Cyborg was there and beat Carano, I think, on CBS, but she was really only there once, and she was never pushed to be the face of the company the way Gina Carano was. I mean, if there's one thing Strikeforce did, it's put all their chips on a fighter, and you had Kimbo and you had Gina Carano far as casual fans were concerned. I'm sorry, I've been saying Strikeforce the whole time. I've meant Elite XC.
Elite XC, yeah.
I apologize. I've meant Elite XC the whole time, so... That those dudes did that, and then morphed obviously into Strikeforce and things like that. So I know we're going to get emails on that now comments, and people stop listening halfway in the show.
Right.
That dummy.
So speaking of Kimbo, I believe that he's also rumored to be going to Bellator. Speaking of males that we don't care about the fight on Bellator, so look for that to be.
Shut up! You're going to watch that so hard, it's going to be ridiculous. Are you kidding? What? You're not watching Kimbo on there.
I will watch
8 million people watched him on The Ultimate Fighter get bumped in the head by Roy Nelson for 2 minutes.
I will watch one.
One. You shush. You will watch all of them. And you're lying if you say you won't. I know you are. And I wish Sean was here to lie about it, too. He would say he's not. He would totally watch.
Over Twitter at Rebel MMA saying how he would not watch.
Not watching this.
Setting his DVR and all that stuff.
And he's got popcorn and Doritos.
Since he's not here, we can do some exciting stuff, which is Brock Lesnar back in action this weekend. SummerSlam against John Cena. and speaking of the WWE, Chael Sonnen competed this past weekend at Metamorist. He lost his fight, but he was on Chris Jericho's podcast this week called Talk is Jericho and said a lot of interesting things. One of which was that the WWE, he had had a conversation with them, and that they're not really that interested in him yet, but the rumor on the street is if TNA is interested in him, then WWE would like to have him. And where this...
This is why Gina Carano, when she's offered the Ronda Rousey fight, wants to go talk to Bellator
first. Yes, but how this thing bubbles up is Chael competes over the weekend despite... the Nevada Athletic Commission saying they're going to stop it. Then they never contacted him back. So he competed and he lost. And then on Monday, Ric Flair comes back. It's Hulk Hogan's birthday. And in the crowd, in the front row, is Chael Sonnen. And so immediately all of us go, aha, that's perfect for him. You can't compete in
MMA, got it.
You could they were in this. Oregon, I believe.
Yeah, you could do this, though.
So it's not like they flew him in. But no,
but
he could totally do that.
You could totally do that.
Well, we don't want to get into breaking down what's going on in WWE or not, but I do find it very interesting. They seem to be making a decent amount of money with Brock Lesnar, and they're entirely riding on the fact that he was a legit fighter.
Mm-hmm.
They're riding on the fact that he shows up a couple times a year, and he just kills whoever he's in there with and walks away. And, you know, you could have a guy in Chael Sonnen that talks about, you know, beating Anderson Silva for 4 out of 5 rounds, fighting the toughest fighters in the world, breaking John Jones' foot. Come on. People are going to eat that up.
Uh-huh, for sure. And you know, his part of the story, as the WWE calls him, they call him, and this is what they say. He goes, why did you call me? And they said, we think that TNA is going to be calling you, and if they do, we quote-unquote want back in the game. And so I don't know, will you see Chael at SummerSlam, maybe?
I don't know.
Because that ultimate, you know, that legit fighter, that Ultimate Fighting Championship between he and Brock would be interesting.
Oh, I don't know if they'd do that. I don't think.
Come on.
I don't think they'd. Are we fantasy booking WWE?
Why do you hate fun things?
No. They just wouldn't do that. Brock's only there a couple times a year. I think you have a better run with Chael against like 10 other dudes, and you could have some fun with it.
Like
so.
Who? Who would you put him against?
Jericho? Well, you could have him run in against with the. What's Brock fighting Cena?
Cena,
is
yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So you have Brock and Cena, and there's no way Brock can lose according to what they're doing over there. And, well,
right.
What if Chael comes in and interferes or does something? And Cena doesn't want, I don't know. I love that the fact that you could have like 10 programs with that dude in pro wrestling, like right off the bat.
I think that it's even more interesting that you could have 10 programs with a dude who's not actually signed, and we wrote 6 of them right now.
Right. They could make money with him now, which tells you, you know, they got to sell their $9.99 a month deal too, just like UFC. So
yeah, but you re-upped on that one.
I was in on that one. The pay-per-views are on there. Why not? I'm going to flip that on.
All right, when we come back, we've got some more stuff going on in the world, including a fight this weekend, as Bader and St. Preux are in the octagon. We'll talk about it next. It's Way of the Warrior. The giant started relying on your size. The stone departed flying.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Joe is out. Sean is out, so we are handling it solo. Saturday night, we head to Bangor, Maine, as UFC Fight Night 47 happens. Ryan Bader and OSP, Ovince St. Preux, look to lock it up in a very interesting battle between number 10 in Ovince St. Preux and number 8 at that division with Ryan Darth Bader.
What are we on? UFC Fight Night? Is that what this one is?
Fight Night 47.
Are we on Fight Pass or Fox Sports 1?
Fox Sports 1, okay. And then the prelims will be on Fox Sports 2.
Okay. This is a nice little card. I don't know how many people are going to make an appointment viewing. I'm interested in the Gray Maynard fight. I always just like watching him fight. Maybe more than the main event, even. I don't know why. I know you like OSP.
I love OSP, so I'm excited about this fight. I think it'll be interesting. Tim Bosch and Brad Tavares, I think, is very cool. Sean Jordan and Jack May, I'm excited about that fight. But I think there's a lot of great fights on Fox Sports 1, and we haven't had an event in 2 weeks. I think people are going to be hungry for some MMA.
It's going to be a tough one.
You really think
so?
Yeah,
middle of August, fight night. I mean, and these are all – this is actually a fairly deep card for a fight night, but it's deep with no real headliners. Does that make sense? Like, there's nobody on there where you go, oh.
You don't think Maynard is one of those guys?
I think he's close, but he's not even on the poster. I mean, I think they got Bader St. Preux, and I think they got the Tim Bosch, Brad Tavares fight on
Tavares,
there.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, that might not be where the artwork is everywhere, but, I mean, Gray Maynard's definitely one of those dudes. It's going to be a solid night of fights that you're going to watch if you're at home. I mean, for me, I'm going to see if I can watch. It's 10 o'clock Eastern.
Yep.
It's one of those deals, so, you know. I'm a guy that, as far as those late night ones go, I get up early to go to work in the morning, so it kind of screws me up. I mean, it'll be on the DVR. Is it appointment viewing? I don't know.
I just think for as long as they've been gone, that's a long break. I think people are going to be looking for it. And as far as I know,
well, it's a long break because they had to cancel a pay per view.
Well, yes, fair enough.
I mean, I'm not rooting against them, man. That's why they've been on a long break.
All right, and then the rest of the news this week
was Gray supposed to be on that pay per view? Is that what happened there?
Don't remember how he ended up here.
I'm just trying to figure out why the guy wouldn't be on the poster.
Maybe he was. Yeah, I don't have any.
He didn't sign his rights over yet.
He did not sign.
I don't think that's it.
It's not on the video game either. I'm kidding. He's totally on the video game.
Good.
Other horrific news this week. We talked a little bit about Josh Grispy and his wife last week. He sicked his pit bull on her, and the pit bull ended up mauling her.
What the hell's going on?
And she came out this week and says that all marriages go through trouble.
Ooh.
I'm standing by my man.
Who's he with most recently? He's not fighting for anybody right now.
No, he is not, and probably won't for a while, I would imagine. But this story and the story I'm going to do next, I think, speak to the dark side of MMA. You've seen a lot of people on Twitter today talking about, or Twitter this week, talking about how MMA is in the news for all the wrong reasons this week. War Machine being the main one, which we'll talk about in a second. But even this story just is it's a terrible story that he trains his dog to attack his wife, and his wife goes, "Oh, most marriages have attack dogs in them." So I'm, you know,
he's a great father.
He's an awesome
what?
What?
Yeah, I don't get that. And then obviously you got War Machine.
Yeah. So, Christy Mack released the photos on Instagram of what happened in the aftermath of the War Machine attack. If you've been paying attention to this case, what happened is War Machine says he came over to the house to propose to Christy Mack and then help Christy Mack with her show, which is the next day, came to find Christy in bed with another man or in the house with another man, freaked out, beat up the other man, told her to take a shower, and then beat her to a level that is just sick.
So she was sleeping with another dude.
Yes.
And he beat her up for it.
Yes.
So they were both doing their jobs? No?
Wow.
No? Obviously, wow. I'm not advocating anything there.
Wow.
Obviously.
I just think the amount of people that are online doing what you
what
just
I did,
it is insulting and idiotic.
I don't know. I didn't say anybody deserved anything there.
Yes.
He obviously. Why isn't he in jail? As of the show taping, he's not in jail yet.
Running.
No, I know that. But
that's why he's not in jail, because he says.
He's on Twitter and Instagram, though.
Yeah.
Can they not figure out where the hell he is?
I don't know that, but
his phone's on.
He says on Twitter that nobody would understand what happened, and I won't get a fair shake.
Yeah, well, you know, I was thinking that up until you see these pictures.
Yes.
Come on. This isn't a being angry and you threw your wife off of another man, or you grabbed her, or you pushed her. I mean, clearly, this guy, as a fighter, has some deadly weapons, and these pictures are ridiculous when you see them.
They are,
and there's no version of this story that works out for him at this point.
No, there isn't, and you obviously have two witnesses. One in the man that he beat up, which was a former reality star, and then
jeez, this is weird.
Yeah, and then Christy Mack. There is no way that this works out for him, and like you said, these pictures are not only disgusting, they're hard to look at. And it just speaks volumes to what you're dealing with in this sport and how people in this sport need to treat themselves and the way they treat others in a different light. You cannot, and I think it was Kid Nate from Bloody Elbow who did a great podcast about this that I tweeted out and we put on Facebook earlier this week. You cannot replicate the type of training that these guys go through and then attempt to have what one would call a fair street fight against somebody who is not trained. And he uses the Roger Huerta street fight, where Roger literally annihilates an NFL linebacker. NFL linebacker, where he gives up about 100 pounds and it looks like a shark chasing a seal. It's creepy to watch. And now change that situation to War Machine beating up a woman. Like, she has no chance, and you can see in the photos, there was no chance.
Well, I mean, it's not even a chance. It's just any situation, and we've talked about this before, a man putting his hands on a woman, almost entirely uncalled for in any situation. I guess, and we follow a lot more MMA media, so maybe that's where this little echo chamber's showing up. I don't see this as anything that's inherently part of MMA, or anything that's inherently something that MMA needs to deal with or worry about. And I'm not trying to be flip about domestic abuse, and I'm not trying to be flip about the situation, but you've got dark sides to everything. I used the NFL example last week.
Sure.
Ray Rice dragged an unconscious woman out of an elevator, and everybody's like, okay, well, you're a pretty good football player. So
let's take that. You said that last week. You say it again this week. You find out this week, to echo that sentiment, one of the convicted rapists from Steubenville gets back on the football field, because that's what we feel about football.
Right.
And I feel, you can say whatever you want about the echo chamber, I feel that as somebody involved in MMA and has an outlet and a voice, that
we have an opportunity to change that perspective, because I've seen more than one occasion where they call him UFC fighter war machine. And if you don't think that reflects badly on the UFC one way or another, I don't think you're paying enough attention. Number one, he did fight in the UFC. He does not currently fight in the UFC. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a terrible situation. I think the people who are on the internet blaming her and saying that she deserved it are horrific human beings, nearly as horrific as War Machine. And the thing about MMA that's different than the NFL is this community is so close-knit and tight that you can actually shift and make a change that you couldn't in the NFL.
Yeah, but I don't think that's anything that MMA needs to do. They've already done it. UFC's not going to hire this guy. Nobody's going to hire this guy. You made the point last week, Josh Grisby, somebody might hire him. I don't know that anybody will. Maybe?
They hired Thiago Silva. I tried to murder seven people in a jiu-jitsu dojo. Like, you have the exact same problem you have in football that you do in mixed martial arts.
I guess
arts.
I don't see it unique then to mixed martial arts. You can't ask, what are we asking here? Well, you can't ask the UFC to do any more than never hire a guy again. I mean, we haven't yet had a guy in UFC that's done this while he's under a fight contract, essentially. As far as I can remember, Thiago wasn't under contract when that happened.
He was dropped.
Well, and he was dropped right away. I mean, that's all we can ask, though.
I'm not asking the UFC. I'm saying the fan base and the journalists. Like, I think we have a responsibility to continue to tell this story until people stop saying stuff like she deserved it, or stop doing things like retweeting his tweets.
I guess I didn't hear that, because I know you wrote an article about this, and I saw essentially the title was like, don't say Christy Mack deserved. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen anybody say
it's
she deserved
there.
It.
It's out there.
I believe you, but I don't feel like that's even close to a large contingent of people. I would relate it to the same people that are sending, you know, a couple of tweets to Robin Williams' daughter. There's always that scum of the internet. There's always that bottom layer of the internet.
But don't you pause for a second. Don't you think, though, in mainstream society, people see a woman who gets beat up by a man as one thing, a porn star who gets beat up by a man as another thing, and a hooker who gets beat up by a man as a totally different thing, as opposed to one continuous thing?
Oh, I would agree that there's certainly different levels for some people on that topic. I don't see that being a large voice of people on that topic. And sure, you know what? If this were to be somebody else's fighter, another fighter, and I'm not even going to mention a name because I don't want to bring any other fighter into something like this.
Right.
But if this were another fighter and it was his wife and she wasn't a porn star and she wasn't sleeping with another dude, I agree. You would probably have a contingent of people that are saying, wow, that's unacceptable, that maybe now are going, okay, I see what he did there. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. There's nobody that deserves this. There's no reason this should happen. And like you say, it's just not even close. It might as well be like somebody trying to shoot somebody and not killing them. If you've got an MMA fighter that's trained the way they have, like you used your example with Roger Huerta too.
To pause for another second, if you have not seen that street fight, go find it on YouTube. It will change your perception of it, because you watch in the cage.
It wasn't even close.
No, you watch in the cage and you think, okay, there's two men who have trained for 8 weeks or 10 weeks. They get in and they do this thing, and one of them is on the losing end, depending on what happens on the losing end of this fight, if it's a decision or a KO or a submission, whatever. You watch this street fight, you will see a predatory animal annihilating a 300-pound human being in a way that doesn't seem possible if you put them side by side.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, this is a situation. I think if you want to look at this as an MMA issue, you look at it as an athlete issue. You look at somebody who beats up their wife in an elevator in the NFL, or you look at a guy like War Machine who beats up a woman because she's cheating on him. You look at these situations, and I don't have any issue with taking a look at this and going, hey, you know what? You're an athlete. You've trained for this, or you've trained for this, or you're this much bigger, or you've done this. There's a situation there where I don't disagree that punitively we are harsher on those folks, because we should be.
Sure.
Because there's a responsibility with that skill set and with what they're doing. And yes, MMA is a tight-knit community, and it's one that sometimes gives a pass to guys that they shouldn't give a pass to. I don't think necessarily, though, that's happening here. I think there's a very vocal minority that may go, oh, she's just a porn star. She's just somebody who cheated on her husband or her boyfriend. I mean,
right.
They're not even married.
Right.
So there is obviously a portion like that on the internet no matter what you do.
And I guess I bring this up, one, because I think that we should talk about it, and two, because I say it because it's a tight-knit community. It feels like an idiot asshat like War Machine shouldn't still be able to be on the run.
Well, that's what I was at. I don't know what's going on here, because at first it's kind of strange and you don't have both sides, so you figure... I'll be honest. I looked at this thing. I'm like, okay, look at the, it's like a trailer park type of domestic dispute.
Yes.
Then you see him tweeting. You're like, what's going on? This is, I don't want to say entertaining, but we're certainly all watching it. It's going, what's happening here?
Yes, because it's not, it's, this would be, when he gets arrested, will be the third time he's gone to prison.
Right. So you're like,
here we go again.
We're not surprised.
Right.
And then we see the pictures and they're horrific. And he's still out there tweeting. And you have the dog, the bounty hunter thing involved. Dog's going to go get him, and he's threatening to beat Dog the Bounty Hunter up. It's gotten more than surreal at this point for somebody who assaulted a woman, damn near killed her, that the cops are letting somebody out there tweet. I mean, we read stories all the time about dummies who get on Facebook with a selfie that robbed a 7-Eleven,
and
the cops are right on them.
Arrested in hours, yep. And here, you know, look, not to make light of this situation, but... if Dog the Bounty Hunter is good at his job, he should have caught him by now, I would imagine.
Well, the cops should have found him.
Yeah, sure, but if they can't...
Dog finds a guy that's basically going to go back to his mom's house, and Dog's just doing cops don't have time to do.
Do you think he's Heisenberg? How smart is War Machine, seriously?
I honestly don't know where the heck War Machine is. I mean, it's just... How are you tweeting out there? I mean, when was his last tweet? It was like yesterday, wasn't it?
I don't know. Seems like you're pulling it up.
Well,
right
now. He was threatening to. I can't get to his Twitter right now. Maybe they blocked it. He was tweeting that he's going to beat up Dog the Bounty Hunter. So let's see. What do we got? The last one I've got is August 10th now. So I don't know if he deleted some tweets. So I know I've seen him a couple times.
Yeah,
so
it looks like he's deleted.
So he's somewhere deleting tweets. And he's still wearing an Alpha Male shirt. They've got to be super excited about that on his Twitter.
Like, you know, when you read his tweets, and if you haven't seen them, like, take this one. This is immediately after the event. At Christy Mack, I just wanted to see your face when I surprised you with the ring. This is a nightmare. You're in my thoughts. Is it a nightmare? Because you did that.
Right.
Like, if you read through his Twitter account, it's like he wasn't there.
Hmm.
Like, somebody else did it, and he wants to be there to support her because he was going to show up later with an engagement ring, but this other guy showed up.
No, I'm obviously a psychopath at a certain level. I mean, you can disagree with me if you want.
Or at every level,
well, I mean,
say.
Some people will say, oh, you're right. There'll be those people that make excuses. I mean, he's distanced himself from it just like somebody who's a psychopath would. So I don't know. I don't know why he's still on the run at this point. You'd think a pro fighter... especially that dude at this point, would be caught. So I don't know. I can't tell you what's going on there. I mean, it'll be interesting to watch this over the next couple of weeks. I do think the MMA part of it is a very small part of it. You've got this element in society no matter what you're talking about. Yes, MMA has to remember to respond to it. The good thing is I can criticize Roger Goodell all day about what happened with Ray Rice.
Sure.
At this point, nobody can really criticize Dana White on any of these issues.
And I'm not. I want to make that very clear. I am not.
But that's a good thing.
That's totally a good thing. That's for the UFC and for Dana White
and MMA.
What I am saying is, as a contingent of people that follow a sport, we can name right now three cases of fairly high profile people at one point in their career that have this hanging over them, and two of the three of them are going to be rehired at some point.
We'll do this show when that happens, because then we can have an argument about who it is and who's the jerk that did it and whether it was World Series of Fighting or some scummy local promoter.
One of the two of them has a fight on the 30th of August, being Thiago Silva, who brandished a weapon and tried to murder his wife and shoot a jiu-jitsu instructor.
Is that World Series of Fighting he's fighting for?
I don't remember. No, it's a much, much smaller promotion, but he's fighting at the end of the month.
I mean, that's another problem, too, is... I get that we're all lumped in, but at a certain point, we have to realize that this isn't controllable by MMA as a community. We would like it to be, but there's always going to be that dude that's running a show down the block that, man, if he can just put a UFC fighter on, he's going to be able to run a great show. I mean, you've got this in, let's go back to pro wrestling.
Sure, yes, you do, but I guess when you have a community like this, again, much smaller than the NFL, I feel like saying this and continuing to have these conversations, if you are somebody who lives in Flint, Michigan, or Cleveland, Ohio, or Springfield, Illinois, where they have one of these small shows
don't buy a ticket. That's
This is a tough one, too. He's fighting in his hometown, essentially, where he's living. I'm sorry, not his hometown.
Sure.
He's fighting down the block from where he lives. He's going to sell tickets. I agree with you. Don't hire him. But you're always going to have the guy that's going to hire him. That doesn't reflect badly and doesn't reflect up on MMA.
But it does. I think it does reflect on the fan base if you're somebody that buys a ticket to that show.
I agree. If you're going to Fight Time 20, you're probably an a-hole. Just don't go to Fight Time 20. The guy that tried to murder people.
I get that I would love it if you could wave a magic wand and control domestic violence. I would love it if you could keep all of these athletes who act out in insane ways under control in some sort of way. And if they're not under control, then penalize them in a way that either controls them or nullifies the situation. I get that we're not at that point. The thing that always works in these situations, though, is your wallet. And so if you see guys like War Machine get on a bill, or Josh Grisby get on a bill, or Thiago Silva, who's fighting at the end of the month, don't buy a ticket.
I agree. You
can do that. And I think you should.
So anybody who's going to Fight Time 20, don't go.
Or stop listening to the show. Those are the two choices that you have. Please do one or other of them. When we come back, we'll break down the latest in breaking news and anything else that's happening this week. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior. Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, been talking UFC Fight Night 47. It's live Bangor, Maine tomorrow night as Ryan Bader takes on Ovince St. Preux. We've been talking about it. You want to break down the fights a little bit more. Here is what it looks like. Sean Jordan is the favorite over Jack May, but not by a lot. Seth Baczynski, he is the favorite over Alan Jabon. Tim Bosch, the underdog against Brad Tavares. Gray Maynard in a do-or-die fight against Ross Pearson. He is the underdog to Ross Pearson. Should be a fun fight like we've been talking about. OSP, a slight underdog to Ryan Bader, and that is going to be a fun, fun fight. Speaking of fun fights, Machida was talking this week, and he was asked, hey, when you think about Chris Weidman, you just fought him, and Vitor Belfort, what do you think is going to happen? And Machida says he does not think that even though Weidman would do much better on the ground with ground and pound, in his opinion, against Vitor Belfort, and that would be the common man's perception of what Weidman should do against Belfort. He thinks that Weidman has the skills to stand with Vitor, and that Vitor has the skill level to win this fight in the first couple minutes. After that, it swings heavily in Weidman's favor. That said, the Lion, Vitor Belfort, thinks that Machida is an idiot. Vitor says this: he will fight standing against me only if he's crazy. I'm ready to have a third world title at a third different weight class. I see a lot of openings from him, and I'm studying the game since last year. I'm not focusing in his strengths, but his weaknesses, and we saw that he has a lot. Still a lot of questions about post-TRT Vitor Belfort, but we will have to wait till December 6th when he laces them up with Weidman. 2 years ago, Geronimo Dos Santos signed to the UFC. He was due to fight Gabriel Gonzaga at UFC 153 in Rio. He was removed after his pre-fight medical showed that he had Hep B. 2 years have passed, and the Nevada Athletic Commission will not clear him to compete yet, so he has asked the UFC to clear him from his contract, and they have done that. His viral count is now at zero, which means he does not have the disease, but the Nevada Athletic Commission demands three positive results for antibodies, and they're still waiting for the last one. Doctors, according to Dos Santos' manager, doctors say that when you undergo chemotherapy treatment like he did, the last one usually takes longer than the other ones, and he can't fight until he gets this last one back. So he is looking for a paycheck, and obviously if you're trying to make it in MMA, you need to fight to get paid. We wish him the best and would love to see him back in the UFC if he can get that third test cleared, but as of right now, he has been released from the UFC to go seek other places that might let him fight in the interim. Brock Lesnar keeps popping up. He's obviously fighting John Cena at SummerSlam this weekend. And we talked last week about Paul Heyman's interview. He did another one with Damon Martin from Fox Sports and said this: if Brock Lesnar ever fought healthy in the UFC, I don't see any fighter that could have touched him. And Josh Barnett, being a guy that does that sort of thing, was watching UFC on Fox. He took offense to it, I would say. I wouldn't have touched him. I would have crushed him. That was the tweet he sent out yesterday. So you can follow Josh Barnett if you don't on Twitter and find out that he thinks he would have destroyed Brock Lesnar. That said, Josh, well known for doing legit fighting and pro wrestling, I would be a fan of seeing Josh Barnett in the WWE doing stuff with Brock. I think that would be very fun. Okay, have an awesome weekend. Make sure you check out UFC Fight Night 47 from Bangor, Maine. We'll have all the results on Twitter and Facebook. Just search WOW Show. Have an awesome weekend. Talk to you soon.
Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.